Sometimes you just got to do what feels right.
Sometimes there's a man.
There's also sometimes a man or woman or trans man or woman. And you still got to do just what feels right. And that's what we're doing this week on Thunderdome Metal Reviews. I am Ben Lindsay. With me, as always, the doctor, David Pizzo, the murder basement, Gabriel Cooper, and the chicken slaughter, Tracy Newport. We're doing a grab bag of my design. By my design, I just said, fuck it, pick whatever the hell you want. And so that's what we did. And that's why we are here. How is
Indeed.
everything?
That's why we're here. We're doing pretty good.
Hey man, if it feels good, do it.
As the Outback Steakhouse slogan from the late 90s, early 2000s said, no rules, just right. So
That is
that's
fantastic.
where that's from. Okay. That makes sense.
That's what it's from. It's the Outback.
Yeah, it's the Outback Steakhouse.
Outback Steakhouse, write it down, everyone. It's
That's
good to
right.
be here.
The towel of Outback Steakhouse.
This is Thunderdome Metal Reviews brought to you by Outback Steakhouse.
Dude, I
I
was
would
thinking about
accept
that.
there. Fuck it. The Bloomin' Onion is pretty baller. I would
It is
accept
baller.
that.
Certainly
Certainly was
Tracy,
in the 90s.
it was.
Yeah.
Literally
Dude.
today, I was thinking about if we had sponsorship, how we'd have to plug that shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Denny's or whatever the fuck, but
Right.
not hair plugs, whatever it is. Like, we have to organically work into the conversation anyway.
I bet we could think up a, like a little
Blue
jingle
Chew.
about the Bloomin' Onion in about
I
5 seconds.
think we could too,
Yeah.
involving Pantera. Anyway,
All the Australian bands we do, I think it'd be pretty natural.
oi, a Voyager. Why are you fuckers asleep? Anyway,
So,
yes.
a metal podcast, of course, we'd have to do Blue Chew and be like, get hard, stay hard, with
That's
Blue
right.
Chew.
You need to fuck this album with get your Blue Chew.
That is how it would sound, yes.
Yeah, it'd have to
Wow.
be incredibly ridiculous. Oh my God.
It doesn't feel like selling out at all. Feels like
No,
buying in.
not at all. So,
Buying in.
exactly. As Maynard James Cann once said, I'm the man, you're the
Yes.
man, so point that fucking finger up your
Up
ass.
your ass.
Oh God. Anyway, do they even have Outback Steakhouses in Australia? Probably not. It seems
Oh
like
God, no. I think there's
nah.
statutory things that forbid it.
Probably. It should be.
It's a
But
mockery. It's
I can
defaming
remember being,
Australia.
yeah, for sure. I can remember being like really excited when the one in Paducah opened.
Of course.
Anyway.
I was excited to
Yeah.
eat there when I was in the 90s with it. Oh.
Anyway, with some senselessness out of the way, I guess I will start off with the album that I chose. It is the second album that we have done by this band this year, Kublai Khan, Texas, second studio album, released on November 27th, 2015, on Artery Recordings, called New Strength. The runtime on that album was a and very much been approved, 26 minutes and 54 seconds. It was produced by Will Putney, and the band is Matt Honeycutt on vocals, Nolan Ashley on guitars and vocals, Eric English on bass and drums, and Isaac Lamb, or excuse me, Eric English on bass and vocals, and Isaac Lamb on drums. Well, yeah, it was, and I just, the reason that I chose this is because when I selected them for Gabe's discography blast last month, I was really impressed by that album and wanted to see what the next one sounded like.
Sounded like this.
And
It sounded much like that album, but with
it could have been the second side of that album, to be honest.
it really could have. There was a little muscle tone. I mean, I think there was. I this band seems to be, having also heard their recent stuff, gradual improvement over time. So, but it's not reinventing the wheel, that is for sure.
Oh
Hey.
no, they know what they're putting out there, and you know what they're putting out there, and you're here for it.
Well, I am certainly here for it. I mean, this was right up my alley. I didn't. I say that I was less impressed with it than I was with the debut, and I don't necessarily know why. Because I think some of the songwriting was better. Maybe it's because I heard the debut first, and that's probably what it was, to be as reductive about that as possible. But yeah, I mean, this was still like fucking metalcore, and when metalcore is done right, I do like it. Simple as that may be.
Grand core.
I think there were a few more. Of course, Gabe Check's going to clear from Boston on this one because there's a few more breakdowns in this one than I think there was in the first one. I think
there's money, yeah. Man.
I think I like this one better too, but I think it is also because it was less just straight ahead slow. Like I think that when David says it could be a little faster, he was referring to their first record, and
I did feel that about that record.
So for me, I think this is an improvement, and I'm glad to see that you know they're on that track to you know perfection.
Yeah. So. I'm enjoying the increased ratio of breakdowns to songs on here as well. Like I feel just like whenever it gets a little more knuckle draggery here, I am much more for it.
I mean, yeah, that person was like,
Tracy said the secret word. Cause I said, that a secret word we also drink on is when he said knuckle drag. I'm like, he's going to say it. and then Ben and I came up with a list of the other secret things, dumb shit that we say that we would drink to.
Yeah.
What was yours, Ben? Pretentious?
Pretentious, oh. That was one of them, yep.
When did y'all come up with this list?
We were just chatting on Instagram because I sent him dumbass memes. You don't get the dumbass memes like him and Gabe because you're not on Instagram. You're missing out on so much quality. But yes. So that was the secret Pee Wee Herman style. Everyone scream.
So you guys are like, over under Tracy's a snuggle dragon tonight.
Yes. 100%. Except no one would take the bet against it. I mean, it was like 100% certain. Because when metalcore happens, you're like, I gotta think about Neanderthals, or I don't know where exactly
when you get into this edge of metalcore, yeah, but when you get into like my normal metalcore by Killswitch, it's like nah,
sure.
But when you get into here,
true, okay.
When you when
what does it mean that your knuckles are dragging though? What does that mean to you? what is happening?
That's some biohazard, like much more hardcore.
Just, you're not explaining what it means. Have they devolved?
It's a feeling. It's a feeling.
Okay.
It's a feeling. It's a
lifestyle.
It is.
Guys, right. It's emo. Come on.
It's no, that's coming up in a second, and it's my fault. Somebody wrote the emo tonight. It was not
bad. I meant the original emo.
Yeah, the oldest of all the emos.
Sorry, Gabe, I didn't mean to interrupt what you were saying.
I was saying when I heard that first album, I didn't think it could get much more knuckle draggy because like it was super, super slow. And I was like, okay, this is like, it is sort of the equivalent of the caveman riff death metal, where it just like slows down, you know, grinds to a halt basically. Which I guess sometimes is okay, but I mean, it was a lot of that and a lot less songs than this album was.
No, I'm with you. I like that this kind of went. There was less total breakdown. I mean, I know you get paid per breakdown, Gabe, but there were still a lot of breakdowns on here. That this was a little faster. I thought the production was a hair better. I don't know.
But what like... breakdown is not total, may I ask?
That's fair. I don't know. I feel like Lorna Shore is just a let. We don't have to get into this. I feel like sometimes the wing falls off the airplane. I don't know.
I would be remiss if I did not correct myself because there were two guest musicians who came in on this album, Matt Brusso on the opener and Vincent Bennett on steel here.
I don't know why I thought you said we're about to say on the oboe. I was like, shit, there was an oboe on here. Where the fuck was that?
No, I think it was not an oboe. So that would have been like really, really
badass.
Out of the pot.
Just but up there.
Vincent Beggett, perhaps you know him from bands like Cockpunch or Shut It. Or Matt Brusso from Bury Your Dead.
Oh, man. Amazing. So yeah, this was more of that. Are we doing another one also?
If I can find a way to shoehorn one in, but I don't think it's on the schedule right now.
I mean, totally. You fit in some Motorhead in there, some random spots. I'm sure you could fit in some more.
I mean, you're no rules just right, man. Now you're like Outback guy, so I think you can just stick it where the fuck you
want. Well, there's only like two more, unless they happen to release one this year, but I think there's a rumor that they will.
That would do it.
So, but no, man, this was just fun, and this is the kind of stuff I like. It reminds me a little bit. I know, like, I can't. What album was it, Tracy, that we reviewed where I was talking about Jamie Josta was yelling at me like he was my life coach?
That was when we did Hatebreed. That's the only Hatebreed album we did, because, like, I think David.
I was there for that.
And he's like, "This feels like I got yelled at by my life coach."
This was like that, but more aggressive. So maybe a drill instructor instead of a life coach. I don't know. You're the only one who's been yelled at by a drill instructor, so you can tell me.
The life coach's one is the Tony Robbins. You can do better. You've got your life. This is the drill instructor yelling at you, telling you you fucked up and it's your fault. That's what this is.
I don't know. I just liked it. I especially liked it, not to get into tracks, but I liked it when they brought in like part of some John Lennon into this.
Sure.
And was yelling that at me.
But, I mean, we got a Louis Armstrong cover later, though. I'm
sure. Yes.
So,
yeah. Right. So there's some cool shit happening tonight. This is a weird combination.
It's a weird combination.
But it's no rules, just right. And that's what we
just
did.
That's what we did. That's what we did.
It's just right.
But now I am.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I feel like it had been a couple years since we had some actual hardcore in here. And so it was nice to kind of get like a refresher on that with the two albums that we've done of these guys. Because hardcore is like that genre for me. Like, if I don't think about it, I kind of miss a lot that comes out of it and just kind of, I don't know much of it. But every time I hear it, I'm like, fuck yes, let's do it. It just.
I didn't used to like it that much, but I've come around. Just because we've listened to so much of it. I think that's what I put in, not my genre. Anyway, yes. I've come around on that too. It's pretty fun. Also, I'm hoping to get some of those fat checks that Gabe gets. I don't know how you do that. I don't know if you need a passport from Massachusetts or whatever the hell he has, but you get a visa. I just want that breakdown money. Unfortunately, they pay like fucking Spotify pays, so it's like 0.03 cents per breakdown.
Put us in Dunkin' Donuts coupons.
Yeah, exactly.
Only redeemable at Dunkin' Donuts.
Dunk box.
It's just called Dunkin'. It's not even called Dunkin' Donuts anymore. Gosh,
Dunkin'. Oh man, this cover I think Ben made in his shop. This album cover here. Your face here, or whatever. This anvil.
Fucking. Amron and Anvil,
pretty
on brand for what this album is, I think.
Yep.
But you know, there's still all the stuff that I said about the first one. Like the guitar tone, the ripping, the bass playing. Drums are solid. Vocals are understandable, which is really important to me.
The job's getting done. Yeah. No, I'm that same way. No, you and I are both team. Like, what the fuck are they saying? It's why Toilet vocals are a bridge too far for me.
Yeah, same.
Like, I need Bolt Thrower to explain to me what the, you know, world eater situation is. Just walk me through this, please. Anyway, I agree with all that. This was fun and cool and made me want to break things.
Everything I've heard from them has been pretty badass so far. So I'm on the ride for more. Just, yes.
100%. Shall we talk about tracks?
Yeah.
Is there going to be an answer besides all of them? Because, I mean, it's 26 minutes.
That's true.
I'm going to say Take the Ride because it is just so short. And I think that if you're into this, you're going to like them. I will admit that if you do not like this or...
you should not get on the ride.
Yeah, you're not going to enjoy it at all. But
you'll get beaten to pulp if you do not like this. It's because it's unrelenting.
It's like you got thrown into a dryer with a brick. So,
that's exactly.
Imagine, like, I'm gonna go see a show, heard good things about these, and showing up like at their show and stepping into the pit and not expecting what's gonna happen.
I don't know if you thought it was some sort of like ambient music because of their name or whatever. I don't know why you went to the show not knowing, but
I bet this band named after Kublai Khan plays really low-key mellow shit.
Exactly. Like I'm picturing some Xanadu type shit.
Or just like, oh, I'm gonna go see a band that, well, maybe they're like Mastodon or Gojira or something like that. And then they walk in and it's like, oh, this is definitely not that.
It's not. But they seem very much about community and taking care of people. So I have a feeling they run a pit that's actually fairly safe.
Yeah,
that's the vibe I get from
too.
them. No, 100%. My God, the things they sing about prostitutes and
Yeah.
being a good father. None of the shit on here. I mean, this is, well, not to get into family value shit, but there are way better values on this fucking album than most of what is on the radio just are.
There are way better values on this album than on the Family Values Tour, let's be honest.
But game. Drop a neutron bomb on us? Yes, certainly more than that. Yeah, I'll drink to that too. I don't even know if it's a rule, but fucking who was on that? Korn, Limp Bizkit, Linkin Park, maybe? I just assumed they were
The
all there, but I
first
don't
one,
know.
or well, actually, I don't know if it was the first one. The one that I saw was Metallica, Korn,
Yeah.
Power Man 5000, and Kid Rock.
Oh my God. Four great hates that hate great together. Yeah, that's
Let's
amazing.
see. Korn, Limp Bizkit, Ice Cube, Incubus was 90, Orgy, and Rammstein was 98.
Maybe I'm thinking of the
Yeah.
Summer
I may
Sanitarium
have
tour.
seen that one. Anyway.
99 was Limp Bizkit, Filter, Stain, Crystal Method, Mobb Deep, Run DMC, Primus, Seven Dust, Method Man, Redman, 2001, Stone Temple Pilots, Linkin Park, Stain, Static X, Dead Z, and Spike.
I mean, those lineups for me at that time, actually now, still are fucking amazing.
Yeah, some of them are really good. Yeah, it was the Summer Sanitarium tour that I was thinking of.
Oh, man.
Metallica was touring all the racetracks.
Oh.
I'm going to say all of them as well in this track situation, just to pull us back from Doors in the late 90s. All these songs. If you can't handle 26 minutes of this, do not get on. Just don't even enter the venue. It is a dryer with an anvil
It is.
and you inside it. So no, I have to feel like I have to say something about knuckle tracking, though I still don't entirely understand what it means.
I mean, if you look up anything hardcore and look up knuckle dragging, there's like, I need some knuckle dragging recommendations. I need
All
some.
right.
It's a
It's just a
feeling. You just
known
kind of,
thing.
yeah. It's the
Invoking
insider
caveman.
lingo
That Tracy gets from his
Huh?
Reddit digging.
The subreddit on hardcore lingo. Anyway,
Yeah.
what do you think, Gabe? What songs make the breakdown cut?
I just want to shout out some songs, even though obviously it's like very, very short. And if you like this kind of music, you're gonna like it. I think the opener is pretty tight. I would shout out Partners and Brotherhood of Man. And I also really dig Mistakes and the closer, Smoke and Mirrors.
Because now I feel I have to say something really fucking like Hunger. That song's badass. And Gift of Blood, too. I feel like the tail end of this album, I think it ends very, very strong. And as Gabe said, Smoke and Mirrors is a kick-ass closer. This is good shit.
I do have a sense that this album kind of picks up speed as it goes.
It does. That's
So
probably
I
why
think
I
it
like the
sequenced
end.
very well. Yeah.
Yeah. I wish we were faster. But this was faster, and I was happy.
Like looking on the Reddit community, there's a post that says, "What kind of music do you listen to when you're not dragging your knuckles?" Like,
No, I
I mean.
believe you. I just wanted to understand it and now kind of do. I don't know. I just thought it was funny because you only use it in reference to this, and now I see why. Almost no one else deserves that designation that we've listened to because Code Orange isn't really that vibe, or
No.
I don't think our Converge vibe, blast, I guess we'll see.
My
Maybe.
hardcore sensibilities is I like ignorant ass knuckle dragon beat down hardcore. That's what I want to hear. Just
What? What?
all the different like weird phrases come out and they're just
It's
like
all of them. What? Why is it ignorant? What's happening?
that's
Man.
just I guess too much insider baseball.
No, but I also don't think it's fair. Maybe it's just because I've listened to shit like this and Biohazard. They strike me as so thoughtful. I don't know. I just have such a different impression of this music, but I also know some of these bands give a fuck. So I don't pretend to have a huge cross section.
Yeah, maybe it's the stank face you get from listening to this. I don't know.
Yeah, and it may be just that I think it's more a reference to its sound than its like content or values or whatever. Because yes, it's
That's what I was
incredibly
thinking.
brutal. I mean, as you said, dry with a brick. So, anywho, thank you for that insider lingo, Tracy. Straight from.
I'm glad I could.
I feel like both you and Gabe are now in the pay of Big Hardcore, and it's a little disturbing. That's like a 50%, like that's enough to lock up Thunderdome completely.
It is.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else to say on this one before we move on to our second album of the night?
Which is not Knuckle Dragging Hardcore.
Nope. It ain't.
It is pretty far away from what we just listened to. David's pick. Hybrid Theory, the debut studio album from Linkin Park, released on October 24th of 2000. Runtime, also been approved, of 37 minutes and 45 seconds. The label was Warner Brothers, produced by Don Gilmore. The band is, nice, scroll down far enough to see them listed. There it is. Chester Bennington on vocals, Rob Borden on drums, Brad Delson on guitars and bass guitars, Joe Hahn on turntables, samples and synthesizers, Mike Shinoda co-lead and rap vocals, keyboards, programming, rhythm guitar, and piano. There was some additional musicians who came in, Ian Hornbeck on bass, Scott Kozel on bass, and the Dust Brothers did some sequencing and sound.
Yep. Well, I picked this because this is a band we've not done. And I seem to bring a lot of this 90s, early 2000s shit, but that's how it goes. And so we hadn't done Linkin Park. So I'm like, let's do this album. And I listened to the shit out of this album at the time. And not necessarily constantly since, but I think in some ways they almost suffered from their debut almost being, I don't want to say too good, but I mean, it's a bit of a pro. Like, I felt Meteor was just sort of more of this, and then I'm not gonna say it fell off, but this album was so fucking good, and I think it was representative of a whole genre, and they did it with, like, I don't know, they had, I guess Warner Brothers backing them, so obviously they had some resources, but for a debut, this is some powerful shit. And yes, I know it's very emo, I know it's very 2000, but I love it still, and I have to admit it slaps a little different right now in terms of some of this shit, because, you know, I thought I knew, I know life better now than I did then. But that was a long fucking time ago. Shit, y'all. It's like almost a quarter century old. That's as far as this was from 1975 or 76. That's fucked up. Never let me say anything like that again. Yeah, no, this is as far from us as it was from 76.
No, it's, yeah.
Shit, dude. Anyway, but it sounds very 2000, and I was very 2000, so I still like it. I know you all know this band. Everybody knows this band. Obviously, this thing with Chester Bennington is just fucking sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's the thing. This is probably the first, well, I know it is. It's the first time I've listened to this album since his suicide. Yeah, yeah. And, so it was kind of weird going back and revisiting this. And it was, you know, during the pandemic with the artist that died, which Chester died around then too. I didn't do it with Linkin Park for some reason, but a lot of the other artists that died that I knew, I went back and listened to their discographies just because I had the free time to do it. But there was just something about, I guess, because he was just so young. And I don't know how old he actually was, but Matt, he was definitely, I believe, younger than
David. He was 41, younger than you or me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so there was just something about that, especially coming as close as it did. Some of the other deaths around that
Chris,
I just.
Chris Cornell. It was like almost a joint suicide.
Well, apparently, yeah, really, like, Chris Cornell was like his mentor and everything. And I think when that happened, that kind of, I think that's what broke him.
I believe it was in the mix for sure. Time. Yes.
But to your point about how huge this album's gone 12 times platinum.
Yes.
So yeah. Probably one of the most massive non-Big Four Black Sabbath albums that we've done, probably.
Yes. And I thought about that too. I'm like, in terms of number of albums sold and how it was on the radio massively. MTV back when they showed videos. No, indeed.
People are in heavy rotation.
Yeah. And this was one of the few albums, like, growing up in my household that like all three of us brothers could kind of like listen to and agree on, because you have a brother who's a new metal fan, me who was in the heavy metal stuff, but like had listened to some of like the Disturbed and everything, and then my stepbrother who was like, he's like the Block Party guy, and so this was like the one that kind of like Venn diagram album for all of us.
There's a lot going on here. Enjoy the genres and other elements.
Yeah.
Thanks, California.
So yeah, this album was absolutely huge. And my sort of anecdote about that is that I was still seeing videos for this album 2-3 years later when I was in Germany, like on German music television. And at that time, and also when it came out, I was not particularly interested. I was just not following this kind of music. But I appreciated the opportunity to go back and listen to this, like actually give it a chance, because I think I respect it a lot more now, like what they were trying to do. One thing that is impressive to me is that I think the hip hop influence here is like actually serious. Agreed. Whereas I think, like, you know, new metal bands, you know, broadly spoken, were not necessarily like properly schooled or like really understanding what they were appropriating or like, you know, incorporating to their kind of harder, very emotional rock music. So I think you can see that. I'm not a huge fan of the rapping on here, to be perfectly honest, but like, I think they understand hip hop in a way that, you know, some other bands don't, from Born the same kind of
with Biscuit.
Yeah.
I'd say DJ Lethal is a real thing, but I take your point about Limp Bizkit. But here it feels quite real. I actually really like Mike Shinoda.
The Limp Bizkit comparison is natural, and I see what you're saying, but like they feel like very different beasts.
They do.
Yeah, they are very different, and for sure.
The band that this one has always more reminded me of is Incubus, and just the way that they hip hop. You know, but I do agree with you. I don't think Mike is the best rapper in the world, but just the way that they incorporated the samples and the R&B beats and everything, I think hip hop beats was a lot better than how Limp Bizkit does. Even though I think Jay Lethal or DJ Lethal, not Jay Lethal the wrestler, DJ Lethal is
Jay Lethal, his brother,
is a fantastic DJ in the rap stuff that he does, and actually he works really well for Limp Bizkit, but there is a world of difference between Fred Durst and these guys in worldview.
Well, I mean, I think that you know, Fred Durst is a front man, and Mike Shinoda is not really a front man for this band. And
yeah,
I would also say, like, I don't, you know, no stones cast at DJ Lethal whatsoever. I think that Fred Durst brings the whole thing down because he doesn't have anything to say. That's not the problem here. At the same time, it's like very, very personal. So people latch onto that in a different way than they do onto, say, Break stuff. It's like kind of different.
It's not the same thing.
There's one of these tracks that we'll talk about when we get to them that, like, my buddy, when he went through like his first big breakup, just, I mean, we played the shit out of that song drinking together and trying to. So there is like some emotional connection to this album that, like, as ubiquitous and fun as Limp Bizkit was, just doesn't have the emotional resonance. Yeah.
And he tries occasionally, as you know.
He does.
Behind Blue Eye. I mean, you know, he. But he doesn't achieve this level. And I know it's sort of emo-y, but as I said, going through what I'm going through right now, it's like, fuck, this slaps even harder than it did then. And again, him being dead, there's a lot of layers to it, but I think it is very well constructed. I think the flow of it is good. As you said, it's a crisp, what is it, 30, 54 minutes? Oh, no, that's the long version. What did you say, 37? This is deluxe. I call this live shit at the end.
Yeah, the first version, the studio version, was 37.
Yeah. That's what I thought. It was quick, too. I even think the filler track is okay, which I did not think of the last Caligula Source album we did. not this current one. So, yeah, and hearing it again now, I was really, God, I love this fucking record. Still.
Yeah, and there's just so many, like, I would call bangers on this album to begin with, just like from start to finish, just about. Like you're, like you said, there's maybe one, maybe two filler tracks on here, but the rest of it's like, wow, these are all pretty badass, and they all kind of just really stick with you.
Yeah, this was an album I didn't skip any of the tracks. I think occasionally I might have skipped that thing with no lyrics, what is it, Cure for the Itch, but not even usually. I mean, it goes so fast. Because I was very comfortable with skipping tracks, y'all. CDs, so I did not hesitate.
Was?
Oh, touche. Still am very comfortable skipping shit. Anyway.
I never bought this album. I had a lot of friends who had it, and I just never felt the need to get it. I don't know why in particular. But, you know, I didn't know a lot of the deep album tracks. So going back and listening to the entire thing, maybe that's why I didn't, because I just was not a Linkin Park fan in that way. I mean, I liked the big non, you know, no way to ignore huge mega tracks that came off of here until I felt that they got overplayed. But that's not a fault of the band or the quality of those tracks at all. You know, as you said, David, it's just they were kind of a victim of their own success. Not that Meteoria also wasn't a success, because I think it goes like 8 times platinum.
I think it does too, but it didn't do what this did.
And the overplay you do mention, because I feel like when this came out in 2000 to like 2002, 2003, like I said, yeah, me and my friends listened to it and stuff. But I feel like after like 2004, I was like, I'm done with this fucking album. Like, you couldn't give me a listen to this album for a long time just because it would still just so oversaturate everything that it's just kind of like, can we hear something else now? Because then they even came out with the remix album following this that was a bunch of that I just like, no.
Yeah, but then there was like the thing with Jay-Z that was badass. I liked Meteora. I don't know. I was on the ride for a while after this, but I also wasn't in a household where it was the only permissible album, which sounds like it would really drive up the play count. So I also didn't really listen to radio. So fuck them.
Well, yeah, I was also at the time.
And I'm a brand whore, which, yes, Ben.
Like, I was in high school at the time. So, like, TRL was very much a thing that happened that showed up on TV after school for me, and like this was on their
TRL. Fuck yes, Carson Daly.
And so like,
I get it.
So yeah, it's been a lot of weird flashbacks of like high school for me this past week, because you had Usher performing during the Super Bowl, and I'm like, I remember getting high before school watching the music video for that. So I mean,
like, amazing.
So like, it's profiles been a very and courage. Weird, like, bookend like high school years for me.
For those playing at home, David said a secret word as well.
I did.
He was a brand whore, so
I did say that, and yes, it is another secret word that
should be David's first tattoo. Brand whore.
Brand whore.
Brand whore.
With four umlauts for no reason.
Yeah.
Yep.
Make it a tramp stamp.
Well, I'm glad Gabe's always the wild card with anything from the 90s, because he didn't have time for that shit back then. So I'm never quite sure how it's going to land now.
I mean, I think like there's a lot of kind of nu metal stuff that I just, you know, didn't like and probably won't ever. But I didn't have a terrible time with this. And part of it just also had to do with the fact that it was just played so often, and kind of like through osmosis, I just heard it so many times.
Sure.
And so it was familiar in a way that, you know,
nothing,
I don't
want to
say, wait, I don't know. I'm just saying, maybe it takes me back in some way to like that time too. Sure. And it's like there's some nostalgia to it, even though I don't really have a connection to the music. So I didn't have a bad time. There are annoying things about this album, but I mean, what, you know, there isn't a new metal album out there, I don't think, that doesn't have some annoying stuff about it.
That's right. So not a tertiary new metal band. Damn, man. Anyway,
But again, I think like what impressed me, I think too, is that this approach to nu metal is still different than like some of the other bands that we've looked at before, where I would say like there's one song, this album in particular, which I think is particularly well done. And I think had all the songs been at that level, I would have liked this album a lot better. But it shows what they're capable of, you know what I mean? And I think that for a debut album, to have one of those just like incredible above all else is still pretty good. And they weren't a one hit wonder like that. That's not what happened. So do they deserve their sort of place in the nu metal history books? I would say they do. And I'm not going to make fun of them.
I'll take it.
They earned that.
I'm not going to make fun of them this time. If we did them again, I might. just because it's the first time we're doing it, like in Winchester's Death and everything, I think it would be wrong. But I almost feel like this was evolving out of nu metal. Is it still nu metal? Yeah, but I really think it was pushing into something else, like transitioning the rap metal hybrid thing, no pun intended, like out of what we had seen in the early 2000s and late 80s, or excuse me, early 90s and late 80s, through nu metal into this and kind of becoming something else.
I mean, we've also talked about nu metal as one of the most nebulous categories, because to some degree it's literally music from the late 90s and early 2000s in a basket, because some of them don't have any rap metal elements at all. I don't know what you want to do, a Slipknot. Anyway, the point is, they were very much their own thing. They struck me as very, very Cali, and they did it well. And I feel bad. Like some of those later albums, I just missed it. I don't know. Again, I was in relationships where metal was not permitted. So anyway, I sort of lost track of them. And then he was fucking dead. Though I've listened to some of that later shit, and some of it's quite good, actually. I'll put some on there. I may do a blast of it at some point, and then Ben can make fun of it. But I feel like we should. They're an important band.
They are. And I quit listening after Meteoria. There's a lot.
Two after that, but then there's like what, four after? I mean, I think it was two. It's a bunch.
Yeah, they were pretty prolific for the most part, which is surprising.
One of the few bands that I think actually managed to, and I don't know how much they split vocals duties later in the band, but I can't.
It's really similar.
Okay. One of the few that actually kind of made that work.
I agree with that too.
So. In the non scar symmetry division.
I was about to say literal. I was like, oh, you mean like scar symmetry?
No, they're not doing anywhere near the same thing as scar symmetry, but yeah.
All of them? I mean.
Oh, shit. Tracy just stomping on out the
gate. He just hit the accelerator.
I mean, really, you think about it. Yeah.
I mean, I am.
This is my childhood to a sense. This is my teen years in musical form. So, I mean, yeah, all
sir. I'm not going to disagree. I'd love so many of these fucking songs. Basically, this whole album is, it flows well. Even Cure for the Itch is fine, right? I mean, it's just sort of a DJ Hans doing some turntable shit and then it's over. But I guess I'll give a couple shout outs though to I think the opener is quite good. I really like With You. That song's fucking badass. In the End.
Yeah,
too real, but so good.
That was the one.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, gut punch. Anyway, but yeah, I'd say like at 37 minutes, it's, as I said, even the flow of it's quite well designed. Just shout those out. Crawl. I have to say, like One Step Closer and Crawling are not my favorites, and that may be an overplay. Like I get it. They were massive songs. I like them, but they're not my favorite ones on here. And that I think may be overplay, because the other thing, I didn't hear there were a bunch of these I did not hear on the radio, like With You, that was not a thing. I don't think Apricot was. It was like One Step Closer, Crawling, In the End.
Apricot was.
Apricot. I don't remember hearing Apricot.
I don't either.
But like, anyway, it's listed as one of the singles from the album.
I remember that vividly.
Pretty much this whole record. What do you think, Ben, Gabe?
I'll go first, Gabe. I really think that, and I love In the End. That's probably my favorite track, but that's also because of the memories and emotional connection that I have to it, which I like to call the Tracy effect. And then I really think everything after that isn't all that great. Some of the earlier stuff is okay. And I think One Step Closer and Crawling are still okay. They are not my favorite tracks on the album, obviously. But they're also ones that like are so ingrained in my psyche that when they come on somewhere, I can sing along subconsciously without even thinking about it. But Paper Cut's pretty cool, and Points of Authority is good, and Runaway was pretty decent as well.
All right. So I think that my favorite song on this record is With You, because I think that it compositionally works, has a lot of different elements at the same time, and they really just show what they can do on that.
Cosign.
So I think that my favorite run is that 3-7 run, which includes Points of Authority, Crawling, Runaway, and By Myself. And I realized that like Crawling is a song that I don't like, but I heard it so often that like I think that's just what happened. And so I think that's where the good stuff is for me.
Okay, I guess we will move on then to Tracy's pick for that made him feel right, since there were no rules. Bloom, the third studio album, my favorite band, Caligula Source, released on October 16th of 2015, 44 minutes and 53 seconds, so not a terrible runtime. Released on Inside Out Music, Sam Balin was the producer. He is also the lead guitarist for this band. Jim Gray did lead vocals. Seth Greensill did rhythm guitar and backing vocals. Dave Cooper did bass and backing vocals. Jeff Irish did drums. Holly Terrence came in and played piano on Dragonfly. She also played flute on that track, I guess, although it doesn't specify.
And the oboe.
And the oboist of oboes.
Indeed. So why did this feel so right to you, Tracy?
Because it is so right. This is my favorite Caligula Source album we did. This is the one I got on the ride with, obviously. Can't think it kind of just fits real well. And I think this also completes the unofficial Caligula Horse blast. But this album is just, when I think Caligula Horse, this is what comes to mind. And then like this No Rules Just Right also reminded me of like a vibe check. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, let's go with it. Here we go. And it felt like just the right thing to pick. Of course, Caligula Source is not a new thing for this podcast. Some people have some dislike for it, I almost want to say. I would say I think this is probably the heaviest album we've done of theirs. I think this one's a little heavier than the other three.
Is it?
I don't know.
The last one?
It is.
Huh?
Yeah.
I mean, you all talked at once. I don't know.
I liked this more than it was it In Contact. Is that what it's called?
Uh-huh. That's the second. That's the
that
fourth
came after
one.
This one. Yeah, yes. Yeah, that was 2017. I liked this more than that. I thought it was prettier and there was less bullshit, which we can talk about later. Like that spoken word track, or there were a lot of ballads on the album. So this was I felt like a more efficient, tighter experience. I don't know if I would say it was heavier than, was it Charcoal? I'm sorry, I'm forgetting the name.
Charcoal's Grace.
Okay. I was like, what?
I don't think it's heavier. I think I recall there being a little bit more like jantiness on here than maybe some of the other stuff, but like, I guess it just depends how you want to define heaviness. Didn't move the needle too much for me, to be honest, but it is better than Contact. I'm still not entirely sure how much better it is, but it's doesn't have the nonsense in it. You're right. It's very pretty. It's definitely really pretty. It definitely has a tribute to Jeff Buckley on there, which sounds a whole lot like Jeff Buckley. And if you like Jeff Buckley, I don't know.
Who is Jeff Buckley? Like that.
He sounds like this, and he's dead. I don't know. You can look it up later. He is. He was. What would you call him? Singer songwriter, I guess.
You're muted.
What to say about this? It is a very pretty album. They're all pretty albums, but I do think that there is less of the self-indulgent wankery.
That's one of them. That's one of them. Sorry.
I just finished mine.
That is on most Caligula's Horses albums. There are actually some very beautiful moments on this one that I quite enjoyed, however they were fleeting and ephemeral, which just reminds me of their sound. Because really, you know, and it is much heavier than what would be played on the show, but every time I hear these fuckers, I just think of the Delilah show. Like, and for those of you who don't know, it's a syndicated show that is on FM stations and probably maybe some AM stations too, in which Delilah, a very sweet woman who is, I have no idea how old she is, but she's been doing this for 20, 30 years. So she has to be, at the very least my age, probably older. Like, people call in and give their tales of woe and heartbreak, and she picks songs to play for them. And Caligula's Horse, you know, if you took out the distortion on some of the tracks, would fit right the fuck in.
I'm not going to argue that point. I mean, that's very clear, even on, like, The City Has No Empathy, the acoustic version of that one. Like, it's like, okay. Like, I'm not going to argue that point. I mean, there's a couple of songs in here that, like, strike that nerve with me, even as they are currently, like Firelight. Like, I fucking adore that album, that soundtrack, and it's a very, it's almost a rom-com fucking sound song, like song, like in format, but it's very well done. But I mean, yeah, I love this album from start to finish. It's been with it being the introduction to them, and I found it in 2016.
So not long after.
Yeah, not long after it came out. Firelight was on a playlist. I was like, okay, cool. And then, like, I kind of just dug into the rest of the album after that. But I do agree. I think part of I do like this is because the shortness of it. Like, it is a very compact 44 minutes compared to what they've released on the other stuff. Yes. And while I do enjoy their moments of fancy, there is something about just kind of getting in and getting out with it.
Oh, I prefer. I converge with you, on absolutely not intended, on some of this prettier stuff like this or Earthside or Will to Run or whatever. But the minute you drag that, is it the last Earthside we did that was like an hour and 20?
Yeah.
Jesus, like I you lose even me eventually. So I prefer this version because I really like this more than, as I said, In Contact. Believe it or not, I think I like the last one a hair better, but I have no emotional attachment to this band at all. I just find it amusing how much you like it, how little Ben likes it. It's one of the wider gaps in physics.
Most of the wider gaps end up in my favorites. And
it's usually you two, but not always.
And it's my personal favorites too. And Ben's like, no.
I picked a blast for you, Ben.
I will admit that the majority of rock criticdom tends to agree with Tracy and his opinion on these albums and not mine, but that's fine. Because then I would have to care what I thought other people's opinions of these albums were. And the only people whose opinions I care about these albums, to the extent that I do, are on this call.
And there it is. Okay, well, no fucks given. Oh, man. Plenty of Fs left to give, though.
Plenty of Fs. Plenty.
So many. Shit. Yeah,
unlimited supply. Are we at tracks?
I mean, yeah. I think so.
You said this is your favorite one, like, other than the fact that it was your first one and it sort of like opened the door to the band, what should someone like about this?
like what they would like tracks or like specific elements in here.
What are they gonna what is drawing them in? Like, you know, just a person off the street, you're like trying to convince them that this album is worth listening to. What do you tell them?
Yeah, what's it gonna take to put you in a Cleveland horse today?
It's gonna take to put you in a Cleveland horse today. I would say probably the two easiest tracks to probably to get somebody into on this album is, and I think they're both very similar, and one of them is like the singability along with them is Firelight, because that track, I think the chorus and lyrics are very repetitive, almost in a sense where they can kind of just really nail into it and kind of get into it. And like he real like his vocals, which is a lot of people's easier place to get into, is probably most clear on Firelight, which is to probably get into it and probably where he probably does some of his better vocal performances in there. I think for probably a metalhead, Russ would probably be the one to get to, because I think some of the better riffages,
I agree with that,
better riffs are in that song as well. And then there's just something about Fuck Your Prayer for Rain, Pray for Rust. There's just that little line there. There's just a nice little twist in there that's fun to go with.
Yeah.
But in terms of tracks, all of them. Like I
okay.
this is a better. This has been a very all of them kind of blast or grab bag for me. Grab blast for me.
Well, shit. Go ahead, Ben.
I mean, you know what I'm going to say.
I do, everyone.
None of them.
And now your failure is complete. Shit. You want to go, Gabe?
Sure. So I think Rust is pretty decent, and it kind of just makes sense because it's the riffiest one on there. And I also thought the closing track was well done.
I really like Dragonfly a lot. That song is so good. It's pretty, and it's got some heavy bits in it. That run of It and Rust, which I also love for the same reason, Turntail and Daughter of the Mountain, that to me is the best part of the album. It's that middle run. City Has No Empathy is fucking devastating because I live in it. And so that was painful, given what has happened here to me and those I love. And I didn't know the original, which is, I guess, on their first album. So I went back and listened to it. Also good. I don't know why they chose to end with it, but it hurt me as a person. But the part that I actually enjoyed, it's a good song, though. Anyway, it was the middle bit.
I think it's just listed as a bonus track. So I think
All I know is The Place I Live came at me with a fucking ice pick listening to it, Tracy, as it does. So it's going great.
It is indeed.
Fuck.
Next, I would say, is probably the strangest thing we've done in a long fucking time.
You think this is strange?
I don't really think it's strange either. Yeah, it's somewhere in between Guar and Brujeria.
That's what I'm saying. Strange.
Okay. The second studio album by Ghoul, Maniacs, released on June 24th, 2003 on Razorback Recordings. Another really been improved runtime. This was a good runtime week for me. 34 minutes and 19 seconds. This band is apparently, at the time of this recording, was only two people. Premator, who unfortunately passed away in 2022 on guitar, bass, and vocals, and Digestor, also on vocals and guitars.
Who played drums? And nobody knows. The drummer's okay.
Andrew LeBar, who also passed away in 2022, unfortunately.
Jesus.
So, yeah.
Like Spinal Tap up in the space.
Yep.
Man. So,
Gabe, awesome cover art on this album.
Amazing. I have a lot to say about this, but I want to give I gave the floor on how this happened, why this happened.
Yeah.
So, a few years ago, I discovered Tank Crimes, the label Tank Crimes, and
I was looking at that. I was like, Ghoul is Gabe
So Ghoul is one of the bands on their label who I did not listen to actually until recently, but I was into Necrot and was just like really impressed. And I started like looking into them on Bandcamp. I started looking into Tank Crimes, and I eventually got my hands on this this album, and I was just like, this is genius. This is so good. I can't believe it. And I also, you know, I was following Ross Sewage on Twitter when I was still kind of on that. And Ross Sewage is hilarious. I mean, he's just like a hilarious person, and also you know, pretty great musician, singer, and yeah, this is just fun stuff. Although this is before he was in the band, but anyway, I just thought this is just right. I mean, especially like all the guar we've been through.
Yeah, damn right. Oh no, there are definitely guar vibes here.
Yeah,
which I approve of. Obviously.
Guar and Necrogoblin.
Dude, fucking Carcass vibes. There's strong Jeffrey Walker vocal action happening here.
Like, this is just a weird amalgamation that at times, like, okay, at times, like, all right, this is maybe a bridge too far.
This, I don't know.
They
this
also, seems... you know, there's also, you know, because of the thrashiness, it's very, like, it's very municipal waste. Like,
yes. But I like this more than that. They did run a municipal waste. No, I love the thrash. I mean, they're from the fucking birthplace of thrash.
Bay Area, yeah, man, this reminded me a lot of, to throw out even older bands, SOD or MOD.
Dude, kind of, Sacred Reich. Like, fucking, yeah, Overkill or whatever. Yes.
Yeah. But, and I loved everything about this except for one thing. I didn't like either guy's vocals that much. So that harsh my mellow, but like the guitar tone on this, the fucking bass tone on this.
The bass is so good.
Yeah, and just like the, even though I had to look them up, the ludicrousness of the lyrics. except, I will say, when they did the cover, then I can understand everything fine. But yeah, man, this was just fun.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun. I don't mind because I like Carcass too much, as you know. And I think Jeffrey Walker's better than this guy. But still, it's, I don't know, it didn't detract too much from it. The bass playing on this is dirty, nasty, good. Mm-hmm. It's fun as fuck. I didn't realize this was only two people. I look into, I don't know. Yeah. The minute I read they all had fake identities, I was like, fuck it, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, I just couldn't sleep token.
David was bought in immediately.
Over their head.
I managed to get through it like 3-4 times. It's, you know, it's a quick listen. I do it right before I came in to do this. So, yeah, this is fun as shit. And the surfer track, man, what was that?
Yeah.
Is that the end? Is that what?
Yes, the end. And I loved that, dude.
Dude, I used to listen to Man or Astro Man or the fucking Pulp Fiction soundtrack, so I ate that shit up. Now this album is so fucking Bay Area.
Oh, okay. So like Andrew Labar, who has played drums, is the same person as Crematore. So that is why they died the same year.
That would make sense.
Yes.
Amazing. I assume there was some bus wreck. I don't know. It sounded bad.
Yeah, well.
Pandemic. Same guy. He died twice. Well, he's on this album cover somewhere.
Allegedly.
Spooky, scary.
Tracy, you look contemplative.
Well, this is like weird. I was like, of the three albums we've done, I don't know, like, this was the album for the grab bag. Like, this is the one that kind of harshed my vibe the most. I was like, okay. It's just like, okay, I see what's going on here. Like, and then it's all like, you know, the imagery and everything they're going with. I'm like, okay, it's guar. The vocals was like reminded me a lot of like Necro Goblin. It's just kind of like a little too goblin-y for me. The guitar work. I will say the guitar work was phenomenal, and that was like the good thing for it. But like a lot of it's like, okay, yeah, this is my least favorite album for the weekend.
I believe you.
It's for maniacs only.
Yeah, it really is.
MANIAXE.
Axe, get it? Axe. No, this is like
an axe with a skull with it.
It is fun as fuck.
It is. And it's got, the music is different, but sort of Rob Zombie vibes a little bit also in terms of just spooky, scary.
I'm like, yeah, like it's got its moments where it's solid. And then there's sometimes I'm like,
Okay.
And it actually tells a story all the way through.
It
But,
does. Amazing. This is
yeah.
Dave. This is fun. The first time I heard it, I was like, "What?" And then I just,
Oh,
it
dude,
just
like the
happened to
minute
be over and over.
the guitars kicked on that first track,
Yes,
it's
and this the wee 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 that would sound in the first that Halloween sound. I was like, "What the
yes.
fuck?" Anyway, I'm into it though. It reminded me of the fucking Munsters. Is that the Munsters
Yeah.
thing? But yeah.
No tracks.
Raise them up, all of them.
Salute.
I'm gonna say that same shit. I mean, why would you? What would you even filter? It's 34 minutes. I will give, yeah, I gotta drink too. I will give a special shout out though to the openers. I fucking love that. It's spooky, weird. I like Stuart Shore. I of course like Mechanized Death because the tempo like comes right back up. And then I think the end is fun just because, like, as I said, I used to listen to shit like Manor Astrum.
I think it's funny as hell.
It's fucking hilarious. And that cover is, God, so genius. No, this, all of these, listen to this whole album or
The cover's
don't
awesome.
if you're Tracy, maybe. But Tracy, what were your favorite songs?
Maga Hatchery and Sewer Chewer, and then Boneless, probably, if I was going to pull a couple off of here. But there was like, I could find something I enjoyed in most tracks, and there's something I didn't like in most tracks. Kind of
Oops.
like, okay.
Sorry.
My favorite
I'm
run was the
not
last three
sorry.
tracks. So, Mechanized Death, The End, and What a Wonderful World, the Louis Armstrong cover.
That's a good run.
Yeah.
Weird shit.
It's
Thanks.
perfect.
Thanks, Callie.
Okay. Well,
No tira.
it's that time.
It's a time indeed.
Kubla Khan.
Kubicon, new strength.
Don't give it a B.
We'll
I
give it a
really like it.
B.
It's fun, but I like it slightly less than the debut.
I liked it slightly more, and I gave that an 85, so I'm going to give this an 86. Also a B, but better B to me. It's good.
I also like this slightly more than the debut. So I'm gonna go all the way up to an 88.
Right. I mean, big hardcore,
Compliments are big hardcore.
Oh, it's a big hardcore. Spit it, but buy yourself something nice.
Here's $5, kid. I'm gonna give this an A minus, a 91. I enjoyed this album quite a bit.
On.
Nice.
It was all the knuckle dragon I needed in my life right now. That gives an average of 88. Would you buy this, gentlemen?
Oh,
Yes.
sure.
Linkin Park Hybrid Theory.
Do I have to go first?
I mean, yeah.
You probably know what I'm going to say. I adore this fucking album as much now as then. I think it was important historically, and I like it, which I've now said three times. I'm going to give this a 95. Shut up, brand whore. Shut the fuck up. Back
Well,
up. I'm giving this an A. I don't want to talk about it.
I am right there with you with a 95 for it as well.
Yes. Okay. I'm not alone. Gabe always just bursts out laughing because the D and it's like in his earpiece. Like, you need to take that shit down.
You're not gonna, so.
You know I'm not gonna. Shit. Oh, no.
Yeah. It's coming down.
It's right in the neck. Ugh.
I guess I will give it the Legacy bump because I do think it's an important album and give it a B.
Hell yeah, B Rodeo. B Rodeo is so much better than D minus Rodeo. I wasn't sure where we were headed.
Well, I think going to go slightly below that in 82. And that's because I think it is deservedly important. So not personally for me, but for a lot of other people.
Well, Gabe, your 82 causes Hybrid Theory not to go to med school.
In the United States.
You got an 89.
Grenada.
Just add that very important clause at the end. Yeah, in the United States.
It's got to go to, it's going to dental school. It's going to be coming out of that.
Tracy, D's get degrees. That's D's, what we got to.
D's nuts get.
Average nuts. 89. Would you buy that album?
I mean, you know the answer.
Again?
I would buy it again.
Yeah.
I love this album.
I didn't buy it the first time, so I wouldn't buy it now.
That's fair.
Yeah, me neither.
I'll still take that. What did you say the average was? 89?
89.
We tried, Tracy.
We did. Speaking of trying. Kawiguous Horse, Bloom. This is a favorite of mine. 98.
Ooh.
It wasn't 102. That's something. I sadly
had a great inflation.
I'm going to bring this down a bit. I liked it a little less than the 2024 album we just reviewed. Or was it 2023? It was this year. But I did like it more than In Contact. So I'm going to give this an 85, a B. It's pretty. And it's tighter. So it's not a 98, but I will give it a solid 85.
Go ahead, Gabe.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, rest in peace, Tracy.
No, I mean, I think that this album is very pretty. It's not for me, 100% not for me, but it's got a couple good songs on it. It's going to get a C.
Here comes that GIF I posted in the group chat, like on Tuesday or Wednesday.
No, I mean, I mean, it's still not for me. But I do think it's better than the one that came out this year. I think it's better than some of the other ones we reviewed. So I am going to give this a C minus.
Thank you. Dodge the bullet there, Tracy. That's a big one.
You did.
Gives an average of 82. Looks like I'm the only one buying this.
Probably.
You know what you guys are getting for Christmas?
The 4-pack for only $19.99. Yay. I would not be sad if I received this as a gift. As I said, I think it's pretty.
Yeah. Ghoul Maniacs.
Fuck yes. Get us, Gabe.
I'm going to give this a 90. I think it's absolutely fantastic. It is a good time. It gets a job done, you know?
I'm going to come in only slightly lower at an 88. This is a B+. This is fun, and it does get the job done.
Yeah, I'm right there with David. But the vocals were better. I would be there with Gabe, but I liked everything else about it. But the vocals drag it down just slightly for me.
I'm going to be the bottom end on this one, and I'm going to give it a C+, a 78.
For hardcore fans only?
Yeah. They give us an average of 86. Would you buy it?
Oh yeah, this.
Just I done did it.
You done did it. This is cool.
I'm glad y'all liked it. I had to have one album that I didn't like this week, I guess, because I mean I scored an A on everything else, so
that's true.
You were flying high this week.
I was until I got the Maniacs. Like, goddamn.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Yeah, harsh in my vibe, just nope.
I was tell the dean it was not just my fault. I only gave one A this week, Gabe.
No, I inflated enough for everybody.
Oh, the dean knows.
Dean knows.
Mm-hmm. But in my defense, the person who's given the most A's so far this year, we know it's not Ben.
What do you mean by this year? Do you mean this season?
Yeah, like this season.
This calendar year.
This season, this Thunderdome year so far. is David with 34.
Obviously.
Yeah.
34. What is that statistic? How many A's?
Obviously. AF.
How many A's? You've given 34 A's. I'm second with 24, with 28. Yep.
This year? Oh, my God. I thought you meant calendar year. I'm like, we've only met.
Yep, that's why I clarified. I was like, what?
I was like, what the fuck are you saying? And then I...
Year of Thunderdome.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And Ben is given the most F's, and I don't think he's going to give up that title anytime soon.
Nope. That is forever going to be Ben's title.
I mean, it's only three.
Yeah, but it's only three. But for perspective, every other year, it's been five, and the only other person who's given F has been me. So,
hey, I just have one thing to say. Do better.
Do best. Do better. Be best.
Indeed. Be best. Speaking of being best, David, you are the creator of the next grab bag. What have you laid down as an assignment?
I forgot. So you can either wait while I pull up the spreadsheet or tell me.
I'm going to tell you.
What you tell me?
Big dick chopped off energy.
Oh, hell yeah, it is. Yeah, big dick chopped off energy. That's exactly what it is. We've done a lot of poppy, but that vibe. Like, just dicks chopped off, thrown in the trash.
Wow. Yeah. So it should be fun.
It's needed.
It's gonna be incredible.
I think so, too. Fits. Not nearly enough if this is happening. So...
I think mine fits.
Oh, I believe in our ability to complete the homework. I mean, you saw what Gabe said, like, stop being liars or whatever that was, like, cheaters. What did you say? Rule breakers. Cheating. No cheating. Anyway, just do your best, Tracy.
No cheating. The dean is watching.
The dean is watching. Bunch of dirty cheaters.
Indeed.
Well, I picked that because I think it is what our era needs, Tracy. And I stand by it. And I like my pick.
For it should be fun.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, tune in next time, everyone, to see how many dicks get cut off in the ensuing grab bag here on Thunderdome Metal Reviews.
Bacaw! Bacaw!